Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm and the first of three programs celebrating the centenary of Duke Ellington, 100 years since his birth on April 29th, 1899. I'm Dave Radlauer, glad you could join me. In this hour, we'll share in his remarkable, larger-than-life personality and appetites, and focus on one of my favorite periods in Duke's music, the years between 1926 and 1933, when his music and popularity were developing rapidly, due partly to being a featured act at Harlem's Cotton Club. In parts two and three of this appreciation of Ellington, my special guests will be actors Michael Tucker and Jill Eikenberry. We'll be further exploring the world of Duke Ellington, learning about the theatrical production Jump for Joy, focusing on just a handful of the talented band players that helped make his sound possible, pausing to listen to some of the all-too-rare piano solo recordings of Ellington, and join him on a European sojourn that included Scandinavia and Sweden. In this hour, I'll be spinning some rare discs, including a fascinating and amazing recording of Duke Ellington in stereo from 1932 that's only recently been rediscovered and reconstructed. This recording of Duke's Black Beauty is by the Swedish band Thomas Arnberg's Blue Five, one of the few modern traditional bands, I think, able to do justice to the early music of Duke Ellington on Jazz Rhythm. Black Beauty, performed by Thomas Arnberg's Blue Five from 1981, pulling off the very difficult task of translating Duke Ellington to Dixieland or traditional jazz setting. Not easily done, and pulled off pretty well there. Dave Radlauer with you for Jazz Rhythm and the music of Duke Ellington. The years 1926 to 1933 were periods when Duke made tremendous strides forward in creativity. Of course, Duke wrote many popular tunes that had some national and international success. Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me, Solitude, In a Mellow Tone, Black and Tan Fantasy, Sophisticated Lady, Don't Get Around Much Anymore, Satin Doll, The Mooch, and many, many more. For many years, he wanted to have his own TV series, but came up against the color line in United American culture. But he is a fascinating individual. Recently, 600 cubic feet of Ellington documents have been donated. His son Mercer filled up a Manhattan warehouse with this stuff and finally negotiated with the Smithsonian Institution to receive these, and they promptly set a staff of four to work trying to sort the stuff out. In any case, John Edward Haas was lucky enough to have access to some of that material for his book, Beyond Category, The Life and Music of Duke Ellington, which I highly recommend. It's a refreshing new look at Duke and tells many of the fascinating stories about the Duke himself, the fact that he was a hypochondriac, that he feared flying. Known for his energy, Duke Ellington could go for days with little or no sleep, and usually didn't go to bed till morning. But when he fell asleep, it often took an hour of great effort for someone to wake him. His road manager, Jack Boyd, lived in fear of Ellington nodding off at an inopportune time. Once, sleepily getting off a train in San Francisco, Ellington ended up in a van of prisoners bound for San Quentin. The guard wouldn't let him off till Boyd came to the rescue. Continuing now with the music of Duke Ellington, before we shift properly to focus entirely on Ellington, we'll hear some more traditional runs at some Ellington compositions. In this set, we'll compare two of them with the original. Saturday Night Function was recorded by Ellington in 1929, originally starring Barney Bigard, who helped co-compose it. Nice bass line by Wellman Broe. We're going to start, though, with Chicago Rhythm. This was a stomp-off studio session with Butch Thompson, clarinet, John Otto and Frank Powers also. They have a three-reed section there, taking on Ellington's Saturday Night Function. And we'll hear the original Ellington from 1929 and Doing the Voom Voom, Bubber Miley, the co-composer and star on the Ellington recording of Voom Voom. But shortly after this date, Miley was dead at age 29, though he had permanently set the mold for trumpet soloists in the Ellington Orchestra. Finally, Doing the Voom Voom, recorded in 1969, live at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. I suspect Duke would think this had a lot of class. It bounces along very nicely. It's Papa Boo's Viking Jazz Band. And so if you think about it, the Danish Dixieland band playing American jazz in New Orleans. And mind-bending possibilities offered there. Here's the Saturday Night Function with Chicago Rhythm. Thank you. the Danish Dixieland band Papa Boo's Viking Jazz Band, recorded at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. And I suspect Duke would enjoy that treatment of his Doin' the Voom Voom, which he originally recorded in 1929. Also from 1929, in reverse order, we heard Duke's original recording of Doin' the Voom Voom and Saturday Night Function. We started with the Chicago Rhythm recording of Saturday Night Function, featuring Butch Thompson, John Otto, and Frank Powers on the reeds. Dave Radlar with you for Jazz Rhythm, the best in classic jazz, old and new. The music in question is that of Duke Ellington. He had a unique ability to write his compositions and his arrangements and orchestrations in a manner to best showcase his soloists, and he had some outstanding soloists. Duke's ability to blend those many solo voices into uniquely new timbres were something genuinely new in jazz. This was more like a symphonic or orchestral composer who draws different colors from different combinations of instruments to get a definite effect. He might use two or three or four instruments or the whole band, but what he achieved was the ability to blend all of those elements into a single sonority in a way unheard of before his music and rarely achieved after him. He would uniquely place these soloists within their individual improvisational settings and as component members of a wonderful orchestra. Some of his biggest hits, oddly enough, were written in taxis, trains, recording studios, or the bathtub. Some are simple single-note lines designed to be set to lyrics. Others, instrumentals for the orchestra, which were later furnished with lyrics. He orchestrated his own original music and extended his simple blues and stomps into elaborate efforts such as the Liberian Suite, Bluebells of Harlem, Utopia, and the Black, Brown, Beige Suites, which were performed at Carnegie Hall, the first time such jazz performances had been done. Also, he was a dance band leader, and he occasionally tried for a hit record, sometimes with success, sometimes not. The recording we're going to turn to next is a genuine stereo recording from 1932. Listen, I'm a sound engineer. If you're skeptical about this, this was an experiment. They had two cutting lathes running, so they had simultaneously cut. Sometimes they had extra masters made for European release or for transcriptions or to be able to get more stamping masters. In any case, the mics were placed approximately equidistant apart, spread out across the orchestra. Much, much later, this was discovered about 10 years ago or so. Brad Kay in Los Angeles, Jerry Valburn, Jack Towers, and others realized that two separate matrices from 1932 matched up perfectly in sync and produced Duke Ellington in stereo. And here you have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is just a fabulous performance and a remarkable experimental stereo recording of Duke Ellington and his orchestra. It's two separate synchronized masters, two microphones, now reunited in one stereo recording. It was done at the RCA Studios in New York in 1932, and that was also clarinetist Barney Bigard producing that fabulous long glissando that lasted over many bars. I'll be presenting another of those next time in this centenary celebration, marking 100 years of Duke Ellington. And my special guests for these next two programs will be actors Jill Eikenberry and Michael Tucker, who deeply love and appreciate Ellington's music. They'll be helping me pay tribute to this American composer.